Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming today and joining our Twitter Spaces between Oasis and our recent infrastructure provider, Chainstack. Today, from Chainstack, we have Ethan. Ethan, maybe you want to do a quick introduction to yourself and to Chainstack?
Lolo, can you hear me? My mic working good?
Yep, I can hear you perfect.
Perfect. I have it on a. I'm running a virtual machine with Android on my desktop because they're still working on getting microphone for desktop, but I figured it out for now using my USB microphone. All right, yeah. So I can give a quick intro on Chainstack, and of course, throughout the space today. We'll be diving more into exactly what Chainstack is and what it means for developers. But from my side, I'm the developer relations lead here at Chainstack. So I lead developer relations across most of our 23 different protocols. So I do Twitter Spaces and I post a bunch of really cool content, so Twitter threads, stuff like that, and engage with developers at the community. I've been in the Web3 space for a little over 3 years now. I've started a few of my own projects and joined Chainstack. About a year ago today, actually. I think my 1 year at Chainstack will be up here in just a few weeks. Very excited to be here on the space today. And today, of course, like Will said, we'll be talking about the Sapphire Chainstack integration. So maybe we'll get more into it in a second, but kind of the high level is that Chainstack is the leading suite of services that connects developers with Web3 infrastructure across multiple verticals. So Chainstack supports developers across verticals like NFTs, DeFi, gaming, et cetera, pretty much everything within Web3. And we do this through foundational pieces of infrastructure like RPC nodes, which of course, if you're a developer, RPC nodes are kind of the foundational piece of infrastructure that connects your dApp with the blockchain. We also do stuff like subgraphs, various different APIs, IPFS, et cetera. So we're very excited and proud to be supporting Sapphire and supporting developers as they push innovation forward through this protocol.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Ethan, and congratulations on almost hitting your 1 year mark. Yeah, I know it goes by quick in Web3. As an introduction to myself, for those of you guys who are not familiar, my name is Will. I'm the Ecosystem Growth Manager here at Oasis Protocol Foundation. Sort of my roles and responsibilities are to work with our various departments, BD, community, marketing, and engineering, and help with strategy and prioritization. So on the BD side, that's integration partners like Chainstack. Maybe on engineering side, it's getting developer feedback and helping strategize and prioritize products and feature requests and things of that nature. So that's a bit of what I do here at Oasis. First, I'd like to just do a quick overview of Oasis Sapphire as well as the Oasis protocol. And then we can get into, some more of how Chainstack works with all with this new network that we recently launched. So Oasis Sapphire is the first ever like confidential, first and only confidential EVM in Web3. So what that means is it's an EVM network that supports the ability to create confidential smart contracts coded in Solidity. So a confidential smart contract is a smart contract that has the ability to have encrypted state. And so normally the way I explain this is with like a few examples. So what does it mean to encrypt state? So in like DeFi, for example, you can build a DEX and you could, for example, encrypt all aspects of state. So you could encrypt, the wallet making the transaction, the token they're buying, the token they're selling. How much they're buying, how much they're selling, the slippage parameters, like the order book, all of these aspects that go into the DEX. But perhaps like that, you don't want to build an entirely confidential DEX. Maybe, for a variety of reasons, including like regulatory reasons, like that might not be what developers want to do. That's okay. Like on Oasis, you can sort of select which aspects of state you want to hide. So instead of hiding all aspects, maybe you just want to hide the slippage parameter. And if you just hit encrypted the slippage parameter, you would sort of prevent the these front running attacks and minor extractable value MEV from occurring. Basically, because if these bots can't see like how much slippage tolerance you're going to have, they wouldn't be able to accurately predict, sort of the arbitrage opportunity on that difference to front run you. So that's like one example of how confidential smart contracts can, be leveraged. Another one is in gaming. So the other like the example I normally use is like if you try to build poker in Web3 today, this is actually like impossible because at least entirely on chain, it's impossible because again, the transparent nature of EVM would allow you to see the other player's cards as well as the state of the deck, so you'd see what card is coming next. And so, yeah, normally developers have to take these things and take them off chain. But if they go off chain, then they sort of lose the high integrity and trustless nature that makes everyone interested in Web3 in the first place. And so, with Sapphire, like no longer does this trade-off have to be made. You can have privacy and you can have high integrity all on chain. And so, yeah, this is something that we're really excited to do with Sapphire. We're excited to empower the Web3 space with the ability for confidential state. And yeah, we're happy to, have integration partners like Chainstack and some of the more recent ones we've announced, so that the developer experience on Sapphire is, the same as it is on any other EVM network. And now they just have these new tools. So with that in mind, I'd love to get a little bit more info on Chainstack. If you could share, what the partnership entails, what sort of services that you're providing on Sapphire, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, no, I guess just first off, before I jump into that, I just want to say hats off to what you guys have built here with Oasis Sapphire. It's really impressive. I spent the last few weeks, especially as we started ramping up the announcements for our integration and as we started kind of finalizing this, I spent the last few weeks, kind of looking into it and reading over the white paper and stuff. And the opportunities that this confidentiality component opens up for not just developers, but like mainstream industries, right? There's a lot of industries that require this level of privacy. And Oasis is providing this, and no other blockchain is doing this, no other organization. So I'm really excited about the potential that Sapphire has, not only for the industry, but for all these different mainstream industries that are just now getting into Web3. I think that Sapphire will be absolutely transformative for the space. And on behalf of Chainstack, we're really excited to be a part of that. A big reason for our integration was that we recognized the importance of this technology and how it would shift the landscape of the space. And of course, we want to, when we see innovation, we see developers creating new applications and things that require really powerful infrastructure, stuff like what's being built on Sapphire. That's where Chainstack shines, right? Being able to service and enable the innovation of developers. I guess when I think about the mission of Chainstack, right? So, like I mentioned, Chainstack is connecting developers with Web3 infrastructure. We primarily do this through, like I mentioned, RPCs. So, I said this earlier, but I'll repeat it quickly. As a developer, when you're building an application, there's a few main pieces of infrastructure that you use when you're building, right? So, of course, you have like the programming language that you're using, right? And the library that you're using. And all of these things need to fit perfectly together before you're then ready to start creating the innovative application that you want to make, right? So with Chainstack, right, we do kind of the level above the basic library that you're using, which is the RPC that you're using, right? The RPC is sort of the connection, like the Ethernet cord from your dApp to the blockchain. So it's important that this connection is highly performant, so it has low latency. It needs to be flexible. So it needs to be in a location that works for you. It needs to be on a cloud provider that works for you. It needs to have configuration that works for you. And it needs to be affordable. All of these things put together create an experience for developers that can allow them to create applications. But until they have these base things, right, they have the language and they have the library and then they have a high quality piece of infrastructure, until they have those things, and it's really hard to create applications. But once you do, then that's when you can start kind of pushing the boundaries forward, like we're seeing what's happening with Sapphire. Like I was getting to, and kind of the segue that I was going on, is that our mission is really to enable developers to build innovative applications that are powered by high performance infrastructure. So we don't just want to have infrastructure that allows building, right? We want to have infrastructure that enhances building and enables a really exciting level of building that kind of pushes the industry forward. And we want to do this for a variety of developers, right? We want to do this for large developers, so huge organizations like CoinGecko and Axelar and Trust Wallet, right? These are all people that utilize Chainstack infrastructure. But we also want to do this for individual developers, right? So even if you're just now getting into the space, if you're just learning Solidity now and just like learning these basic components of Web3 application development, we want to be there for those developers as well, and also enable them to innovate in the same degree that a large enterprise could. So kind of democratizing access to this enterprise-grade infrastructure, and in doing so, creating an environment that allows people to create some really exciting applications. And I think that case is especially true on something like Sapphire, that is the perfect environment for this innovation that I've been talking about.
Thank you so much. A few different things I wanted to mention there. I just want to say, thank you guys so much for going through our docs. I think that became like very apparent when I think recently that you guys launched a tutorial or a demo application about Sapphire in your documentation, and it looks amazing. I really appreciate how you guys highlighted sort of building the application on Ethereum, what it would look like building it on Sapphire, as well as some of the nuances to Sapphire, and also some of like how confidentiality sort of is enhanced on Sapphire versus it doesn't really exist on Ethereum. I just think it's a very good tutorial, and so any developers in the space, I'd definitely recommend go checking that out, as well as our own documentation, which you can find on our website. Additionally, as you're saying, like enhancing developer experience, I think that's really what I mean. That's what Chainstack does, and that's what drew us to Chainstack. Basically, without an infrastructure provider such as Chainstack, developers are left in this weird place where they have to sort of choose between our public RPCs, which are great but are not necessarily like the most high performant due to the fact that they have to be throttled to prevent sort of spam attacks and things of this nature. Or they have to run their own infrastructure, which obviously is costly and takes time away from the developer experience, and it's a pretty large piece of friction if we want to get developers on the network. So, I really just view Chainstack as sort of the perfect partnership for lowering the developer friction and getting applications building as quickly as possible with the least amount of friction. So that's a bit about how I view this integration. I don't know if you have any further thoughts on that, if you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, I think you recapped it really well. Developers, when you're looking for an RPC to use, right, there's a few options, like you mentioned, well, accurately. You can use public RPCs, which are great for testing and stuff like that. But public RPCs are just that, right? They're meant for the public. They're meant for like something that you plug into your MetaMask and you use through that, or something that maybe like you test your application with. They're not meant for production level loads. So that's where Chainstack comes in, right? When you're a developer and you want to start creating more powerful applications that need more powerful infrastructure, that's when you can either use Chainstack or run your own node. And of course, running your own node is really expensive, and you need like a DevOps team to maintain that, which can get difficult. So Chainstack kind of exists in this perfect position, right? Where as a developer, you can, I mean, really just within 5 or 10 minutes, spin up a enterprise grade Oasis node and start building on that, kind of shift off of this public infrastructure and, plug in this production ready RPC and start using that to build. So, Will, I think you did a very good job of describing that.
Awesome. And so the next sort of area I wanted to explore is, what makes Chainstack unique compared to other similar services? Is there any technology or any services that you offer that really differentiates you in the space?
I think this is a really good question. I'm glad you guys asked this because I think this question gets to the core of like, what we're aiming to achieve at Chainstack. So for some context, when you look at the industry and you look at other providers, right? Most providers do a pretty decent job of like giving good performance and like it's good enough. Maybe the pricing's okay, but when you're a developer and when you're either a small developer or a large developer, and you look at some of these other solutions, Let's say you're building a decentralized exchange on Ethereum or on Sapphire, right? This can cost a lot of money, right? This can be thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to run the infrastructure for that. So, like, I mean, just imagine the difference between $10,000 and $1,000 in terms of a cost. Like, that $9,000 can go towards hiring another engineer and like pushing your application further or whatever, right? So the first thing that we noticed was that pricing across the industry was really high, especially once you start getting into like real application development. The pricing can get really unsustainable very quickly with, you know, some of these large providers. On top of that, what we saw was that, you know, the performance didn't quite match the pricing. So, you know, when you look at like, you know, $10,000 infrastructure, the performance should match that depending on you know what you're purchasing. And we found that it didn't quite. You know, you're getting decent performance, but you're paying a lot for it. And at the same time, you know, these other pieces of infrastructure that we looked at, they weren't super flexible, right? So they weren't very transparent in terms of, let's say, the cloud provider that they're using, or the location that they're in, or whatever it may be, right? So what we wanted to do and set out with Chainstack was to solve these three key areas, right? Affordability, flexibility, and performance. We think that these are the three things that make infrastructure good. If you can nail these three things down, then you can create an application that's really powerful, that developers can really leverage, outside of just kind of like infrastructure that allows you to build, but rather infrastructure that enhances your building experience. So what we've done here is looking at these three components and elevated them to be industry leading. When you look at our pricing, for example, this is something that we're really proud of. Our pricing is up to 86% cheaper, and on average, about 66% cheaper than other providers. Which, I mean, if you just think about it, you know, 66% costs, that is massive. Even for a small developer that's paying $100 a month for infrastructure, 66% is the difference between, you know, being able to outsource different programming projects or for an organization that could be the difference between like hiring multiple more engineers. So, the price difference is really important. And we think that the fact that Chainstack is, you know, one of the most affordable providers in the industry, further enhances the ability for developers to innovate and build cool applications. So that's the first thing. We position ourselves to be by far one of the most affordable providers. But we do this without sacrificing the other two things, right? So like you can be super affordable, but to get there, you don't want to sacrifice performance, you don't want to sacrifice flexibility. So instead, we've become affordable while elevating these two other things, right? So we have industry-leading performance in a lot of chains. We have extremely low latency, and we're customizable to the fact that you can even choose, like, you know, for example, I want to do Amazon Web Services services in Ashburn, United States, right? You can deploy it there, or you, I want to do Google Cloud in Singapore, right? Which of course lets it be a little bit more performant in terms of latency, but we lead in latency in a lot of areas. We don't even rate limit our nodes, so you can really push them to their limit. And then beyond that, we're very customizable. So, like I mentioned, you have full control over like cloud options and where your node is being deployed and under what provider. And then past that, you have full control over the configuration. So you want it to be full or archival, whatever. And then past this, right? Just past the fact that our infrastructure is, we've spent a lot of time nailing these three foundations, right? Affordability, customizability, or flexibility, and performance. Past this, we also offer a lot of things past node services, right? So we do subgraphs. Subgraphs are a really fantastic way to index data very quickly and retrieve data from the blockchain. Right now, we only do this on Polygon, Ethereum, and Binance, but this is something that a lot of other providers don't do. We're also partnered with, you know, key people like Covalent to provide really powerful APIs for developers. So, you know, all these things from like our additional services like subgraphs and, APIs and IPFS and stuff like that, down to the fact that we've spent this much time kind of nailing down the RPC infrastructure piece of it. What we hope is that Chainstack is kind of the number one platform that developers can go to and rely on to run the infrastructure that's you know serving as the primary backend of their dApp.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I guess one of the things I just you know I didn't realize that you guys had this partnership with Covalent for the APIs. We just recently integrated Covalent indexers onto Oasis as well. So maybe potentially something to look forward look into more, potentially offering these APIs on Sapphire as we move forward as well. So yeah, I think that was a great overview of, what Chainstack does to differentiate themselves. In this process of finding an infrastructure provider, there was lots of research done, and I think it was clear while I was doing the research that Chainstack was offering, I would say, like a comprehensive suite of different tools and benefits that, overall made us excited to work with the Chainstack team. But diving a bit deeper here, I know you went over, basically what the developer experience is like, but how do you see the Chainstack fitting into the ecosystem? Are there particular applications that you think Chainstack is best suited for, or is it mostly like any sort of application, as well as like maybe what are some of the things that you guys are doing more on the initiative of onboarding developers or creating more tutorials? Like, what sort of things can we look forward to?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Just real quick, I want to make sure that is my mic cutting out at all? I got a message that my microphone was cutting in and out a little bit. Is it all
Not
good?
on my end. I hear you loud and clear.
All right, sounds good. Then yeah, I think how Chainstack fits in the ecosystem is a really interesting question. Number one, of course, I think what you mentioned in terms of developers that want to get started and learn a lot about Oasis. I think to begin, we want to be an onboarding point for developers. So we've already released one tutorial. You can go to our Chainstack documentation. We have a lot of really great tutorials. We call it our Chainstack Web3 Decoded series. I posted a few thread versions on Twitter, but they're really great. They walk you through like the basics of a lot of development. I think the one that we did with Sapphire was creating a smart contract and deploying it. That's the first thing. We want to be an onboarding point for developers. We want developers to as they start building on Sapphire, we want Chainstack to be kind of the first place that they go to. Both learn about Sapphire and learn about development, and of course, for their infrastructure that they use as they build. I guess we kind of see ourselves almost as kind of the centerpiece for the developer ecosystem of Sapphire. Because, like I mentioned, the infrastructure that we're providing is something that every developer needs, right? No matter what you're building. If you're building a supply chain management piece of software, right, that uses the blockchain, or if you're building a game on the blockchain, right, whatever the use case is, you have to use RPC infrastructure. And you can also, of course, leverage additional infrastructure like subgraphs and like covalent API and stuff like that. So what we want to do is kind of be the centerpiece connection for a lot of these projects, right? What we hope is that a lot of the projects and a lot of the developers in Sapphire will choose to use Chainstack as their primary infrastructure provider, so that we can sort of, I guess, put ourselves as a backbone of the Sapphire ecosystem. Like I mentioned, I think that Sapphire has a potential for a lot of innovation with this confidential EVM technology. So what we want to do is, and I've said this a few times, but we want to enable developers to build out these applications that can really leverage that technology, and do that through high quality infrastructure. So we want to, position ourselves as this backbone for the ecosystem, especially the developer ecosystem, not only in education in some ways, but especially the infrastructure side. I think in terms of applications that people can build with Chainstack, like I said, any vertical, whether you're creating something that's never been made before, or you're just creating like a simple DEX, these are all things that you can leverage Chainstack to elevate and build much easier. So I think the best answer to this question is sort of the center of the ecosystem in some way, especially the developer ecosystem, and sort of connecting all Oasis developers, all Sapphire developers with high quality Web3 infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that is exactly my view as well. And I agree that, I mean, I guess it goes without saying that, as an RPC provider, all applications can sort of benefit from the infrastructure that you provide. I'm glad that you mentioned supply chain, because I think that that's sort of been an underdeveloped industry in Web3. It's something that like long has been speculated. As something that blockchain can be used for, but for some reason it hasn't really seen been like it hasn't really taken off. And to some degree, I think that's probably because of the lack of privacy. I think that if you're doing supply chain stuff on the blockchain, One of the issues is that like your competitors can see all this invoicing, all of your pricing, when you're getting your shipments, how frequently, these are, trade secrets. And so I think that to some degree in the supply chain space of Web3, privacy has been like one of the missing pieces. And so I'm really excited to see if that we can get like a lot of supply chain projects to launch on Oasis. I know I've talked to a few, and it seems to be primed to sort of empower that industry. And I hope that Chainstack can be a large part of that. But so diving more, you say that you want to be sort of the backbone to Sapphire for developers. What steps should developers take in order to start using Chainstack on Sapphire?
Hey, can you hear me on the Chainstack account now?
Yes, I can.
All right, I'm gonna have to quickly close out of my other account. Like I said, I'm using a virtual machine here, and it completely bugged out. So let me see if I can rejoin that account. But as long as you can hear me here, I think that's good. So what I wanted to mention real quick, and I think I had my hand up on the other account, but I gotta rejoin here, is that. Before we hop into that and hop a little bit more to how Chainstack might be the centerpiece of the developer ecosystem, I want to ask you a quick question, if that's okay.
Yeah, great.
When I was doing my research about Oasis over the past few weeks, I figured out, of course, I was exploring a lot about like the use cases for Oasis, and I think the use cases are really exciting, like I've mentioned a few times. Supply chain is one thing, right? Being able to track these things while remaining confidential is huge, right? Beyond this, like I guess, maybe I'm totally off base here, but even things like healthcare applications, I think, are massive, like financial applications that require this privacy. Is this accurate? I mean, I think that with things like the healthcare industry and these different industries that require confidentiality, I see Oasis, Sapphire, as a game changer for a lot of these industries and an entry point into Web3 for a lot of these, these large providers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that healthcare is a massive industry. I think it maybe moves a bit slower than other Web3 industries just because of they're normally like very large institutions that sort of have a lot of bureaucracy and have to be very, very careful about dotting their I's, crossing their T's, and all that. Whereas like a DEX protocol can be very innovative and spin things up in a matter of a couple of weeks. The healthcare moves a bit slower, but in terms of the tech stack, yeah, I think it can be transformative for the healthcare industry. We are looking into partnerships with a lot of healthcare institutions, and basically, the idea is that you can really own your own data and sort of break down these data silos that exist today. So for those of you who are not aware, at least in like America, there's lots of regulations on healthcare data. Basically. And it actually causes lots of issues because your, let's say, insurance provider has access to some data. Your general practitioner has access to another piece of data, whereas like the emergency room in the hospital has access to another one. And it's actually very hard to get all this data aggregated in one place because of all the laws that exist. And so, for a lot of reasons, this can cause issues. And what I see the potential of Sapphire is the ability to give users the ability to own that data in a way that only they have control over it. So you can imagine it as like a confidential NFT or a confidential soulbound token where, the Sapphire key manager basically manages access to that data, whether it be, stored off chain or, if it's a small amount of data, it can be stored on chain. And then one of the really cool things about Sapphire is, then you can also grant and revoke permissions to access that data. And sort of use smart contracts to manage the accessing parameters of it. So these are things that we're really excited about, especially as AI is becoming very popular. AI is essentially how beneficial AI is directly like correlated to the amount of data it can access and the quality of data it can access. And so right now, as much as it seems like there's been transformative leaps in AI. It should be noted that all this is being done on pretty much entirely public data. We haven't even gotten into like the vast swarms of private data or personally sensitive data that AI could be used for. And so, if we want AI to be super beneficial in the healthcare industry, We need access to this data. We need to break down these data silos, right? Because let's say you are a massive pharmaceutical company, and you're trying to use some AI algorithm to target, make a dr do a drug study or something like that. You need as much of this private data as possible, but you need to also protect users' sensitive information, and that's really where Sapphire come in. So the way it could sort of work is that you could have this in encrypted data stored in IPFS, where you are the only person who has access to the key manager, and then you can sort of we actually have a project being built by our previous the person who sort of built Sapphire. His name is Nick Hines, and he's building Eskrin. So Eskrin is a sort of how do I describe it? An off-chain like serverless compute that's incorporating privacy. What it basically allows is it allows for your data to exist on IPFS and this AI algorithm to exist, let's say, with this massive pharmaceutical company. And the data goes into this black box called the trusted execution environment, and the AI algorithm goes into this black box. The AI can learn on that data and come back out, and then your data comes back to you without, that large pharmaceutical company ever seeing your data, and without, anyone else seeing their AI algorithm. And so in this way, privacy is protected, but the data is still, I mean, the AI algorithm still benefits from the data. So this is something that we're really excited. And so if you guys are excited for these type of things as well, I'd definitely recommend checking out Enshrined by Nick Hines. But yeah, that's a bit about that.
And I think that's I can't understate how many doors it opens for the Web3 industry. I mean, when you look at the potential for Web3, it spans a lot of industries. A lot of them are apprehensive about creating something, creating a Web3 application because of the privacy part, because data isn't private, because it's all public. So, when you look at healthcare, they can't use Web3 yet, at least on public chains, because on chains where the data is fully transparent, because you can't store patient data on a public ledger, right? That isn't super sustainable. So, being able to open the doors with this confidentiality for applications like this, I think is totally game changing for the industry. And of course, from Chainstack's side, speaking on behalf of Chainstack, we're really excited and we're super proud to be a part of that. And we hope that, kind of wrapping back around to the original question about, the developer ecosystem. We hope that developers will choose to use Chainstack and leverage, the infrastructure that we built out to create and leverage what's possible with Sapphire. Because, like I mentioned, I think for developers especially, there's a huge opportunity here to create applications that just haven't been made before in Web3. And I think Chainstack is, the perfect tool, and the infrastructure that we provide is kind of the perfect fit for something like that. Because not only, like I mentioned a few times now, not only is it performant, which is really important when you're creating applications like this, right? You don't want to have to worry about, when you're doing something super innovative and let's say you're creating a healthcare application, you don't want to have to worry about like, is my RPC fast enough, right? That's the last thing you want to think about. You want to think about, is this technology that you're building, is it working, and is it something that is viable for the industry? So we're really excited about what developers will build with Chainstack, what developers will use Chainstack for within Sapphire. And we think that Sapphire over the next few years will cement itself as a really exciting player within the industry, and that developers will start to leverage Sapphire, especially with Chainstack, to create some really exciting applications.
And I mean, I couldn't share that view more. I think that that's basically what how I view Sapphire. We talk about, I mean, you mentioned privacy, and obviously that's what Sapphire does. But basically, I think that in Web3 there's been like this sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but privacy has essentially meant anonymous transactions. That's how people think about it, and sort of. I think this is, a very, this is obviously one use case for privacy, but it's a very narrow scope for what privacy can mean. What we just talked about, all this healthcare data, it has nothing to do but an anonymizing transaction data. Like it's about, giving users control over their data and enabling, more sophisticated applications to be built. with better user experiences that better mirror like Web 2. And if we're ever going to try to like take Web 3 is ever going to beat out Web 2, we have to have at least equal levels of sophistication. And due to the fact that, Web 2 can have privacy, Web 3 will need it. And so that's how I look at it. It's not about anonymous transactions. It's about things like healthcare and supply chain and being able to just selectively hide certain pieces of data. So I'm really happy that you gave me a chance to sort of get on my soapbox and give that little speech, because I think this is sort of, as an industry, something that we have to move towards, moving away from privacy as a focus on anonymity and more on like how we can use it to build more sophisticated applications. But with all that in mind, I would like to, you talked about, how everything that we can do for developers. What are the steps that developers need to take in order to start using ChainStack today?
So the process of using ChainStack is super simple, and we're excited that, it's very easy for developers. Kind of a callback to what I mentioned earlier, developers, regardless of your experience level, regardless of what you're building, how important what you're building is, whatever, it's very easy to deploy and utilize ChainStack infrastructure. So the way that developers can do this very quickly, within 5 or 10 minutes, is they can go to chainstack.com. I believe we have the link, and the link should be in my bio as well as the bio of the ChainStack account here. So chainstack.com, you can go to that website and you can sign up for an account. It's free to sign up. And then from there, of course, we support, I believe, 23 different blockchains at this point. And you can start completely for free with zero payment. And within our free plan, you get 3 million requests a month, right? So as long as you're using under 3 million requests a month, you can use the ChainStack platform 100% free, which of course is another exciting opportunity for developers to start creating like low-level applications and test applications on Sapphire while leveraging high-quality infrastructure. But once you've signed up for a free plan, or if you're looking for more serious infrastructure and more capabilities and more nodes and stuff like that, you can sign up for one of the paid plans. But once you've done that, you can go to your dashboard. It's very simple. You create a new project. For example, you can name that project Sapphire application. Then you open that project and you start deploying a new node, right? You'll have this window that lets you choose between one of our lots of different chains. You can click on Oasis. You can choose between testnet and mainnet. Then from there, you can choose your geolocation that you're deploying your node onto. So I think right now we mainly do Amsterdam on ChainStack Cloud, which is our own custom cloud provider. So you can choose that, as well as a few other configurations with your Sapphire node. Then you click deploy and you give it a few minutes to sync and sync with the blockchain. And then once you've done that, it's very easy. You now have a WebSocket and an HTTPS endpoint that you can now plug into your application, just like you'd plug in any public RPC, anything that you used before. Just replace that with the endpoint of your ChainStack node. And now, I mean, your dApp and your project is pretty much instantly transformed into something that's not only much more reliable, but much more performant. So it'll have, like I mentioned, low latency, of course, depending on where you're querying the node from. More customizability, more scaling potential, right? So if you get to the point where like you need a dedicated node, for example, for Sapphire, then you can do that, right? And there's a lot of capabilities that open up once you start and you take this first step towards ChainStack infrastructure. But it's very easy to get started, right? Go to the website, open up the dashboard, deploy a Sapphire node, grab the endpoint, plug it into your project, and now you're connected to ChainStack infrastructure and you're ready to start seamlessly building on Sapphire.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the things that jumped out at me when I first started looking at this ChainStack is just how quick and simple it is for developers. I mean, I myself am not a developer and found it like very relatively easy and straightforward to see what the process was like. So for any developers in the space, I definitely recommend you go and check it out and maybe hopefully start building your first Sapphire application today. One other thing I just wanted to highlight, you brought up the fact that you guys have 23 networks that you guys are connected to. And I wanted to just give some context to this in terms of how that actually relates to Oasis and why, we found it also to be beneficial to be partnered with someone who has connected to so many blockchains. One of the things that we sort of realized when we first launched Sapphire is that Sapphire's confidentiality features are not just limited to applications built natively on Sapphire, but actually that Sapphire can be used sort of as a layer two for other EVM networks, and sort of offer some confidentiality benefits to those other EVM networks by allowing them to offload their confidential computation needs, and to connect to their original applications using cross-chain messaging bridges. And this whole sort of piece of infrastructure we call the Oasis Privacy Layer, or OPAL. And so I just wanted to quickly go over like what this looks like. So you can imagine you have some maybe like a role-playing game on Polygon, right? Role-playing games, 90% of the game doesn't need any confidentiality, but there are some aspects of the game that might, mostly like quests, riddles, and puzzles. These things, have to have some sort of hidden solution, or else, it's not really a game if you just know the answer and you can look it up on chain. But again, you can't build this entirely on chain because of the transparent nature of EVMs. So maybe your game already exists on Polygon, but you do want to incorporate some riddle. You can't build that on Polygon, but you also don't want to move all the way to Sapphire. That's totally okay. You can just build, let's say, your riddle contract on Sapphire, and then connect it to the Polygon network using a cross-chain messaging bridge. And so what that would look like is essentially like you're playing the game on Polygon, and then eventually you reach some point in the game where you reach this riddle. You would then They would automatically switch to the Oasis network. You'd submit your encrypted solution on Sapphire, and then if that solution is correct, a message would be sent back over like a messaging bridge, like Axlr, as we mentioned before, Layer Zero, Multi-Chain SendiCall, CBridge. There's a lot of them. And then once it's passed over to back to Polygon, it'll unlock your NFT reward or some your experience or something along those lines, and you just keep on playing. And we could even use like gas fee layers to, pay the gas fees in Matic, so that you sort of are completely abstracted away from the fact that Oasis is even used. But you sort of have created, an entirely on-chain Web3 gaming experience by creating this modular application. And again, we call this the Oasis Privacy Layer. And the reason why, I just wanted to highlight this is because, as you said, Chainstack is partnered with like 23 different networks. And so what this enables is it means that, these applications sort of can build with one RPC, right? Like if they're on Polygon, they have Chainstack. If they're on Sapphire, they have Chainstack. They don't have to maybe get different RPC providers from different chains. And this is something that, again, just lowers developer friction. And this is something that we're really excited to do, in the sense that we're creating a cohesive ecosystem where developers don't have to worry about any of these things and can just focus on building. So I wanted to highlight that really quick. Also, if you have any thoughts, please be free, free to share them. I'd be happy to get any feedback or thoughts on this type of applications.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was really cool in terms of what you highlighted there. The fact that you have this cross-chain interoperability layer, and you can leverage Sapphire for cross-chain activities, and that's where, of course, another place in which we spend a lot of time is creating this ecosystem of networks. And of course, you mentioned like Layer Zero and Axlr and these different partners, which I think we just tweeted a little bit ago that we're partnered with Layer Zero. So of course, like, we're very close with a lot of the protocols that are being used or have the potential to be used for these applications. But beyond that, we, like I said, we support 23 different blockchains. So I mean, pretty much any blockchain you can imagine, right? Ethereum, Polygon, BNB, Optimism, Avalanche, Solana, Harmony, Fuse, Bitcoin. I mean, whatever. Every major blockchain that people use regularly, and Sapphire as well. You can spin up a node through Chainstack just as easily as you can do through Sapphire. So, theoretically, you can sign up for even just like something as cheap as $50 a month, which is our growth plan. That's what, most individual developers or small development teams will go on to. And you can go on there, you can have a Sapphire node, and then you can spin up a Polygon node, and some other stuff. And now you have this ecosystem of nodes you can use to then build your application. So, this isn't just a solution for one protocol, right? We don't expect developers to sign up and then just use Sapphire or just use one thing. Because again, especially with technologies like Sapphire, it is sort of this multi-chain approach that you take to a lot of application development. So I think the possibilities with this, especially with Chainstack, when you look at a lot of other providers, most providers support a decent amount of chains, but we spend a lot of time developing partnerships with a lot of protocol teams, as many as we can get our hands on, pretty much, so that we can give developers the tools that they need to build applications unbound by restrictions on protocol, right? Unbound by restrictions on technology. So I think that what we talked about today, we talked a lot about a lot of topics today. We talked about, of course, what Chainstack is, how Chainstack is enabling innovation. We talked about Sapphire, how Sapphire is kind of enabling this new paradigm almost of Web3 use cases. And I think, of course, if there's any developers in the audience right now, or any developers that end up listening back to this, right now is a really great time to start building. Of course, it's not a bull market at the moment, but I think that's an even better opportunity, right? Now is a time in which, if you have an idea, especially something that you can leverage Sapphire for, which, I mean, I have just sitting here in the space, I have a bunch of ideas of like potential applications that could be built. But if you have an idea that you want to execute on, doing so and getting started is really, really simple. And doing so through Chainstack is really simple. So I guess the main thing that I would encourage is that I'm sure there's plenty of developers listening right now, either live or back to the recording. But if you have an idea, if you have a project that you want to build out, take the first step in building it, because you're early if you're listening to this. And I think the opportunity is pretty huge. And of course, at Chainstack, we're very excited and happy to support developers as they kind of go through that journey.
Awesome. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. I can't wait to see what sort of applications are built in the near future. So we are running out of time. I want to give you a chance, to maybe highlight any upcoming events or new products or anything that you want to sort of give a shout out to right now before we close out the space.
For sure. I guess a few things that I'll go over real quick. Number one, before I kind of get into some upcoming stuff from Chainstack, if you want to keep up to date with Chainstack and what we're doing within this space, almost every week, pretty much, we have something new. We have a new Twitter space, or we have a new product that we're launching, or a new partnership to talk about. We're constantly trying to come up with new things to provide the developer community with. You can keep up to date with Chainstack either through chainstack.com, of course, our website. You can also follow our Twitter account here in the space. You can see it's a speaker up on the speaker board here. At ChainstackHQ is our Twitter handle. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the space, I'm the developer relations lead here at Chainstack. So I also do a lot of content. I'm very involved with Twitter space and stuff like that. So if you'd like to keep up with Chainstack through my account as well, you can also follow me at TabascoWeb3. And both those sources will get you some pretty good up-to-date information on Chainstack and what we're doing throughout the industry. Beyond this, I guess two main things to think about. Of course, we just recently announced the Sapphire integration. So developers on Sapphire can, like we've mentioned a few times now, can very quickly, within 5 or 10 minutes, spin up a node in Sapphire. So please feel free to do that if you're starting to build an application. Beyond that, we've also recently released our Subgraph solution. Right now, that's primarily on Ethereum, Binance, and Polygon, I believe. But that's also a really exciting opportunity for developers. We're talking about this multi-chain concept. So if also, let's say you're building an application on Sapphire and you want some sort of data indexing capabilities through subgraphs on Ethereum or something like that, or on Polygon, to kind of go hand in hand with something that you're building on Sapphire, then we also recently released that. It's a really exciting solution. I actually, earlier this week, I think just 2 days ago now, I released a thread on how you can get started building with subgraphs. So if you'd like a really cool data indexing solution, you can check that thread out, or you can head over to chainstack.com and spin up a subgraph over there. Additionally, for any developers that just want to learn how to build with Chainstack and how to build with subgraphs, we're running an event, I believe, in 20 minutes, 10 minutes, with LearnWeb3DAO, which, if you're a developer, I'm sure you're somewhat familiar with them. We'll talk about how you can leverage Chainstack and how you can start building applications. But of course, you can take that knowledge and apply that to Sapphire and start building applications with Chainstack on Sapphire. So we have a lot of really cool stuff coming up every week. Pretty much, we have at least one Twitter space, usually a few at different events. So definitely give Chainstack HQ a follow, and make sure to keep up to date with everything that we're doing throughout the industry. It's a lot of stuff, and we're very excited to see how our partnership with Oasis will evolve and how developers will leverage this moving into the future.
Awesome. Awesome. It sounds like there's lots of exciting things happening on Chainstack and that you guys are always innovating. So I'm looking forward to following you guys and learning more about what you're doing in the near future. On the Oasis side, everyone, obviously follow our Twitter account for to keep up to date with any of the upcoming news and announcements. We will be having a community town hall early in June. So stay tuned for that. And then also, just one thing I wanted to highlight is that we are taking registrations for our Opal Hackathon. So if you go to the Oasis website, you can go and register for the Opal Hackathon today, which should be being should be launching probably within the next month or so. So hopefully, you get some cool applications will be built there. Maybe some that are inspired by this Twitter space today, and which maybe even leverage Chainstack. So, thanks so much for attending, everyone, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day. Until next space, have a good one. Bye.